All of his stuff looked good, some probably too good because it was probably snug, but he was different in everything that he did. He locked up different. He locked up snug.
Hey, this is your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, and you're listening to Snug Wrestling. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
What's good? What's good? What's good? What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the Snug Wrestling Podcast. I am Edgar. I am the host. And today I got my crew. I did a solo show recently, but I'm not going solo today. I'm going back to hanging out with Mr. Blood, Toxic, Tommy, and BT Knight. And we're going to go over Friday Night SmackDown, a wild Friday Night SmackDown, way better than last week's. Today, SmackDown was wild. Today, there's a lot to talk about, you guys. The last few shows, we've covered the most important parts, which is just like two, maybe three things here and there. But no, on this Friday Night SmackDown, we found out what the favor was, most importantly, which opened up the show and ended the show. We also got the highly anticipated Rey Fénix debut that we're going to talk about. Charlotte Flair and Tiffany Stratton got into it, and it got out of hand. They went off script. It was very, very interesting. Some people liked it. Some people thought it was a total wreck, so I want to hear your thoughts on that as well. And we're also going to talk about B-Fab and Naomi. They had a match, but there's a specific reason why I want to talk about this. We got an update on the injury. There's a, you know what? I'm just going to spoil it. Kevin Owens, he's out of WrestleMania. We're going to talk about that and what happened with Randy Orton. Jacob Fatu is the number one contender for the United States champion. And we're going to cover all of this here on this episode of Snug Wrestling. What's up, fellas? How are y'all doing today?
Doing awesome. Yeet.
Yeah.
Right on.
Doing great.
Let's get started with the favor, shall we? The favor. What's the favor? What is this big favor that we've been waiting for since fucking... What was it, Tommy, when this thing even started? Was it like... Was it the Chamber or was it War Games?
It was not the Chamber. It was War Games and a little bit before that. Because so, what they were doing is they were leading up to it, and then the whole favor thing was the only way to get Punk to help out Roman during War Games.
So we talked about... Thank you, Tommy. So we talked about this numerous times, and we were trying to wrap our heads around it. And as we were getting closer to the time to figure out what the favor was, it kind of just hit me last minute. It's going to be CM Punk is going to ask Paul Heyman to be in his corner instead of Roman Reigns. And that's basically what the favor is, you guys. How do you guys feel about now that we know what the big favor is? They built this up all this time, and we were waiting, and we were speculating, and we were guessing. Now that we know what the favor is, Blood, do the honors like usual. What are your thoughts on the favor? Was it worth the wait? And how is this going to go into play at WrestleMania, you think?
So I actually figured out the favor about 3 days ago, randomly. I was thinking about the segments. I was playing WWE 2K25, and in my universe mode, Punk versus Roman for the WWE Championship was one of the matches in my universe mode, and the game automatically sets up your manager, and Heyman was the manager for Roman in the match. But during the entrance, it just kind of hit me. I was like, well, hold on. What if the favor was Punk not only trying to steal the loyalty away from Roman? What if he just said, you know what? I want to hit you where it hurts. Because Heyman never got to walk down the aisle to the Mania ring in the main event ever with Punk. And that was something Punk always wanted. Because there were Manias where Heyman was still Punk's manager, even when Punk was the guy. And I was like, holy shit, that's got to be the favor. Because last Friday, when Punk is essentially about to give Roman his props, even if it was sarcastic, Heyman gets down on his knees next to Punk, tells him, you don't have to do this. You don't have to do it. He's pleading with Punk, don't, he's my tribal chief, but you don't have to do this. You don't have to do this to yourself. To humble yourself, because Punk is Heyman's best friend. And even though he is Roman's wise man, he's still closer with Punk. And that sticks in Roman's craw. And if Punk, a master of mind games, is really trying to stick it into Roman's craw, twist that knife deeper, because Punk already knows. Punk knows, I'm already in Seth's head. I'm rent-free in Seth's head. But I'm not rent-free in Roman's. So instead of Roman getting to have the honor of the Hall of Famer Paul Heyman, walk him down to the ring for his 10th record-breaking, by the way, record-setting, record-breaking main event spot of Mania 10. This is the 10th time Roman's main evented. The number before him is Hulk Hogan at 8 and Triple H at 7. Main events at WrestleMania. Wild. Yes. And to think about the fact, well, Roman kind of cheated. He got 2 back-to-back main events in 1 year last year. But when it comes down to it, this is not only a perfect full circle moment for CM Punk, what better way to let him truly, because if you're Triple H, the thing about Triple H is that Triple H and Punk have a better relationship because Triple H was willing to give Punk the one thing Vince refused to. Aside from the respect that Punk had worked his ass off to earn, the respect that Heyman staked his career on for Punk, he wouldn't give him, he wouldn't concede that main event spot at Mania, even when Punk was the champion, the guy during Mania. He's playing second fiddle every year. Mm-hmm. And to give him that main event spot, that's one thing. That shows that you truly are trying to make sure that Punk knows he belongs here, he's welcome, he's wanted here. You're also saying, well, let's go a step further. Mm-hmm. What if we let you and your best friend go down in the ring at the same time? The guy who helped put you on the map, the guy who brought you into WWE, the guy who staked his career on Vince believing in you.
They told him that
guy walked down the ring with you.
They told him to fire him, and Paul was like,
and no. Heyman refused, and Heyman flat out refused. We've heard the story 1,000 times. Heyman legitimately staked his entire career on Punk being a success in the WWE. That is a true story. Mm-hmm. He even mentioned his Hall of Fame speech. Mm-hmm. What a full circle moment. Mm-hmm. This is awesome. It's awesome. If you are a Punk fan, if you are a diehard, you know, unforgiving, like, will never apologize for it, CM Punk fan, like me and you specifically, Snug, we've been following Punk's career. I've been following his career since ROH, his early days, ROH, okay? I've seen his old backyard wrestling footage before he made it to WWE when it hit YouTube, okay? So for me, and the fans like me, for the people, the 16,000 in that arena tonight, for guys like you, this is an absolute feel. I don't see how I'm not going to get misty-eyed or tear up when I see him walk out there with Heyman. The feeling that I'm going to feel is going to be like this.
Dude, I'm going to be there live.
You did it. I know. I'm so happy for you because you're going to get to soak up that fucking emotion. You know what I want you to do when you're there live? I want you, for the show, take out your fucking camera when that main event's about to start, when Punk's music's about to hit, because you know he's either going to enter last or he's going to enter first out of the three of those guys. Because they're either going to want the loudest pop to open up for the energy, or they're going to want him to really get to soak in that fight. So that tells me Roman's might come out first. Seth's going to come out in the middle. Punk might come out last. But when they do, I want you to open up your cell phone. I want you to zoom in. I want you to capture that fucking moment of those two walking out. Because that will be viral fucking camera footage.
It's going to be historic. No, you're definitely right, Mr. Blood. This is this makes perfect sense, at least to me, at least to you, because of the meaning, the importance of all of this going back to years and years in the history, but I'm gonna come back to you. I want to hear from Toxic, and then Tommy. What did you think, Toxic, about the favor? And how are you feeling with the how we found out about this?
I was not expecting this to be the favor whatsoever, but it was. Like, so, in the first couple of weeks we heard about the favor, I wasn't speaking expecting it. I wasn't expecting that to be the favor. Mm-hmm. As we start moving closer to where we are now, I'm like, it's possible, but I just don't see it. And the way that we found out, I loved it. Mm-hmm. Paul's over here crying. Sorry, blood, I'm spoiling. If Rollins fucking laughing his ass off the yeah. entire time. Yeah. And Roman's like, tell him no. Mm-hmm. Loved it.
Yeah, we're talking about like the top three promos and characters in the WWE. So the fact that they were all there, the way that they were reacting, the way that it was done, even down to before they were in the ring, Paul Heyman had a backstage segment where he talked to the camera and he said, Punk, Roman Reigns is about to be here. He's mad. He's upset. And I don't care what the favor is, whatever it is. Yes. So Paul Heyman had already agreed to whatever the favor was going to be, even before even knowing what the favor was. So that made it a lot more interesting. And then of course we went back. Roman showed up. They went to the ring, and soon enough, out comes Rollins, out comes Punk. Hey, you know, the favor is this. I'm going to take you out of your comfort zone. You're not going to have your wise man. I'm going to have my best friend. So Paul Heyman is going to be in my corner. And you're right, Toxic. The way that Roman Reigns came about this, all confident. Tell him no, Heyman. Tell him no. Tell him you love me. You'll never do that to me. And Paul was like, I can't. I can't do that. Huge pop. Tommy, let's hear your thoughts about the favor in this segment.
So, I did actually figure this out earlier today. Because what came across my Facebook feed was a clip from back in the day with Punk and Heyman alone in the ring, and Heyman going, I will walk down with you when you are challenging for the WWE title. I will walk down with you when you main event WrestleMania. I will walk down with you. Like, he was naming all of these things. And that's when I realized, wait, the favor is not to put him in the, into a triple threat for the WWE title. It's not the triple threat. The favor was to put him back on his side and fully go through with something that he said over 10 years ago. That he would walk down with him when he main evented WrestleMania. And that is exactly what's going to happen. And I'm telling you, here in 2 weeks, when it happens, that pop is going to be so damn loud, it's not even funny. I am so jealous of you right now, Snug. Fuck you.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And again, like, some people are complaining already, you know, all of this just for Paul Heyman. But it's like, if you guys really think about it, Roman Reigns is used to having Paul Heyman in his corner. A lot of managers really do make a huge impact in these matches. And, you know, now that Paul Heyman is going to be in CM Punk's corner, this does change a lot, like in story mode, the dynamic of the match for Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is not going to have his wise man. He's not going to have his support there that he's used to having in the corner. Now CM Punk has the advantage. And it's just, man.
It's like I said, CM Punk is already living rent free in Rollins' head. Mm-hmm. This was the one way he could get rent free into Roman's.
Yeah, exactly. You're absolutely right, Blood. BT, let's hear your thoughts on all of this.
All right, I've been very excited to talk about this segment. This was amazing. From Roman pulling up in the driveway and just ignoring Paul Heyman because he wants to get down to business. He's not even playing with the crowd. And Roman's leaning into more of his tweener vibes.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not fully the babyface anymore. He's more of the tweener, which is something that I really like that Roman is tapping into in particular. He's like, wise man. Yes, my tribal chief. Is he here? Yes, my tribal chief. Is he still talking about the favor? Yes, my tribal chief. Oh my God. And this is the problem with Chicago. He just, this is Chicago getting a bit of that heel heat. And I just loved every single second of it. And then he was like, Punk, let's see what the favor is. And immediately I'm like, Seth's got to come out. Seth has got to come out. And then all I heard was, burn it down. And I'm like, oh, shit. And this motherfucker, Seth, came out wearing the, how do I describe this? He was wearing the robbery jacket that Michael DeSanta from GTA 5 wears in that one fucking GTA 5 mission when you have to rob the goddamn trucks with all of the big gold and all of the millions of dollars in there in one of the missions. How do you guys
remember all this shit?
Bro, like, I was laughing my ass off. So I know the memes are going to go crazy with that. But anyway, then Seth comes out antagonizing Roman, and then Roman pulling his shots back, and then Punk walks out and he says, I'm going to hit you in the heart, Roman. I'm going to make your wise man my friend.
Best friend, yeah.
Yeah, my best friend.
Yeah.
And Roman, just like y'all said, his egotistical side, he was all confident. He was like, I saved this man. He wouldn't mm-hmm. be relevant without me, just like your bitch ass.
Mm-hmm.
So wise man, tell him no. And you could see the emotion in Paul's face when he was like, I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can. Wise man, don't make me bitch slap you in the face, man. Don't make me bitch slap you in the face. Tell him no. I saved him years ago. I saved him. I was there for him. Wise man, I'll give you one more shot. And you better not screw it up. Tell him no. And it was at that particular moment, the acting was just phenomenal. Paul Heyman has always been one of the best actors when it comes to general managers in particular. He has been phenomenal when it comes to promos, his acting, selling it. Like, look at the work that he did with Solo when he was... He looked like he hadn't gotten sleep in ages. Either that, or he was wiping his eyes with a fucking poisonous leaf or some shit. But anyway,
you could see the tears coming. Sorry to interrupt you, because I wanted to confirm you. He did say in an interview later that he actually stayed up for two entire days straight to sell the exhaustion for that.
That's commitment.
He did say that.
That is fucking commitment right there. But yeah, that just shows you right there the dedication that this man gives to promos and to the business in general. He's just an amazing guy. But you can see the emotions coming out. And he's like, I can't do it, Roman. I can't. And you could see Roman looking at him like, ain't no way you just said that. And he was pushing Heyman to the corner as Heyman was just pleading and begging for Roman to not punch him in the fucking throat. And then Punk with the cheap shot. And then the rest is history. But yeah, yeah. I absolutely enjoyed this segment. It was absolutely fucking awesome.
It also, like, it made me feel really bad for Paul Heyman, because think about it. Think about what situation Paul Heyman is in right now. He has to choose between the guy that he's been protecting, he's been advising, the guy that brought him in, the guy that saved him, Roman Reigns. He's got to pick between Roman, or he's got to pick, you know, his longtime friend who has all this history with, who has made all these promises to, has put his career on the line for. And it's like, I felt bad for him, especially with the tears. Like, Paul Heyman was crying, like, on spot. It was amazing. But, Blood, I know you have something to add before we move on. Is there anything else you want to add about this this segment here?
Yes. As perfect as this is. And by the way, this actually is my favorite match going into Mania. I am looking forward to this match more than any other match that weekend. For me, this is the match that has the best story going into it, the best emotion going into it. I'm the most hyped for this match. We've had some very unfortunate lackluster builds around a lot of the other major stories. I mean, look, like Jay and Gunther just got good and we're 2 weeks out. The women's title scene on both sides is we have so many multi-man matches. Like, I mean, this is the, if you look across the board at the whole Mania weekend card, this is the one match you can say without a doubt has the best story going into it, the best performances, the best history, the best lore, the best segments. Like,
yeah,
it's not even a competition.
I think and it's so, Cody the only and Cena at the water.
It is. Yeah. And that's only because, and it's not Cody's fault. That's because they should have swapped that third promo with the first one. And they should have made sure that John Cena could make more appearances. Because we just found out in the wrestling news only this week, well, this past Monday, that it was one of the two where they were face to face. I think it was Monday.
Monday.
But that's John Cena's last scheduled appearance until Mania.
Really?
I swear to God, that's John Cena's last scheduled date for Mania that has publicly been advertised for his dates for the next few weeks. Swear to God. So now Cody has to build this feud more by himself, unless The Rock is supposed to show up at some point. But The Rock apparently isn't scheduled to make any appearances prior to Mania either. So it's like, dude, you're handicapping the story. But the one thing I want to mention that I am dead set on, Seth Rollins was the fourth wheel last year in the entire story. Mm-hmm. Seth Rollins, generally, when they get in these multi-man scenarios, he's always the odd man out. And you don't want to know why? Because Roman actually has a character. Because Roman actually has a character. Because Punk actually has a character. Seth has an entrance song and a dance. If you strip away the entrance music, if you strip away the goofy ass outfits, Seth has no character. So what needs to happen is by the end of Mania Night 1, or by the end of Mania Night 2, or by the end of the Raw after Mania, or the SmackDown after Mania, we need a Seth Rollins heel turn. That needs to come out of this. Because he is the odd man out in this group. He comes off as a whiny bitch about it. And he's the only guy in that match who I feel like you're the least important guy in this feud.
Yeah, that's what he feels like. I just want to say real quick, when Roman was calling out CM Punk, Seth Rollins came out and it was just like, ugh. The fans were singing his song like always, but then him and Roman started bickering at each other about trust and how Seth Rollins isn't loyal and, you know, their history. And it's just like, yeah, hurry up, go on with it. Let's get CM Punk.
It's like, I enjoy Seth in the ring, but this one's going to sting when y'all hear this one. Seth is the Io Sky of this feud.
Yeah. That doesn't sting. It's true.
He's the best wrestler out of the three of them, just like Io. And he's the least important person in this triple threat.
Well, I mean, my best wrestler, I'd say most acrobatic, but I wouldn't say the best wrestler.
If you want to talk about like wrestling ability, the best overall rounded like technical wrestler ability, most versatile in the ring, it's Seth. Same thing with Io.
Fine, fair.
But they are both the workhorses of their respective divisions, both of them, in triple threat matches at Mania, and they are both the least important parts of their matches.
Yeah.
And no, that right. sucks. They're both playing third fiddle to two other people in their story.
That's why when I said when we do the prediction episode for Mania, it's like Seth
Rollins. It ain't gonna be pretty.
Hey, but you know what? What if they pull the impossible, like, you know, they swerve us and fucking Seth Rollins ends up winning? That could also lead to a singles match between Roman and Punk.
Well, Busted Open Radio made a really good possible outcome.
All right, really quick, so before we can move on.
I don't. And they said, what if the heel turn happens in the match? What if it's Seth turning heel? But what if Paul Heyman sides with Seth?
Nah, that's stupid.
he could swerve him. He could swerve him.
That's true.
Roman doesn't need Heyman anymore. Punk doesn't need Heyman anymore. But who's directionless and needs a revamp? Seth.
Damn.
What's Paul Heyman famous for?
Fucking revamping. Turning everything direction. Into fucking gold?
Exactly. Why wouldn't you stick him with Seth then? Unless Seth turns out to swerve us all inside with The Rock. That was another prediction they had.
Yeah.
Because John Cena...
It also will bring up the fact that he is the only non-Heyman guy, too, in that triple threat. Seth is the only non-Heyman guy between the three.
I don't like that idea.
But if you think about it, Roman and Punk did something that Seth didn't do to Heyman. They put Paul in the middle and forced him to choose.
Yeah.
So what if his choice is the one guy who didn't force him to choose?
I'm not saying that I don't like it because I'm like saying, oh, that idea is stupid. I'm saying that because
it's weird.
Not stupid. It's not weird.
It's a little.
It's not weird. It's just I'm afraid that. I hate Seth Rollins so much that I'm afraid that he's going to make me hate Paul Heyman. And that's what I'm afraid of.
The thing is, you could never make me hate Paul Heyman. Never.
I don't know.
But he's my favorite Seth manager Rollins. Of all time. But I think Seth definitely needs a reset. And I think if you were ever going to give him just the highest ability to reset for success, Paul Heyman being his new manager would do wonders for him.
Well, I hope they don't hear this podcast because fuck that. All right. Let's move on to the Rey Fénix debut. Toxic, I'm going to go with you first this time, so be ready. Rey Fénix finally showed up on Friday Night SmackDown, and I thought that it was going to be versus Andrade. So did half of the world in the internet. I thought it was going to be Rey Fénix versus Andrade, but it was Rey Fénix versus Nathan Frazier. Rey Fénix, obviously, he gave us all a tease of what, you know, what he's all about. He's high flying. He's exciting. Just like his brother Penta, and the fans were impressed. The fans were happy, even though there was a little botches here and there. I don't like using that word, but let's call it like it is. The match wasn't perfect, but it got the job done. Rey Fénix went over. And after the match, they already announced who Rey Fénix's next opponent is going to be. Humberto Carrillo from Legado del Fantasma, which should be another great, exciting luchador-style match. Toxic, what did you think about Rey? First of all, I'm just not going to ask you, what did you think about the match? Have you seen Rey Fénix before, or was this the first time seeing him? If this was the first time for you, what did you think?
First time on TV, yes. I did a little bit of, I guess you could call it researching I watched a couple of his matches, and they were fire. Mm-hmm. I completely agree with you. I thought he was going to go against Andrade because I saw something today that apparently Andrade and Rey Fénix were going to have a feud, but I don't know if that's 100% true. So correct me if I'm wrong. And I like Rey Fénix because he's a mix of three wrestlers that I really like. Javon Evans, Penta, and Dragon Lee. They're like, I don't know what it is about Rey Fénix, but anytime he steps in the ring, you just don't know what shit he's going to pull out of his pocket. It's just unpredictable, like Penta. So I completely enjoyed this. And fun fact, this was actually a double debut. Nathan Frazier's SmackDown debut. And then Rey Fénix. Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't know that. Thanks for pointing that out, Toxic. Tommy, let's hear from you.
One, yes, this was in fact the first time that I've seen Rey Fénix wrestle. And holy shit. So they put him up against a very quick competitor as well in Nathan Frazier, which made a whole lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're trying to put Rey Fénix over, which honestly you don't really need to do. He's the same thing as Penta, where the looks really sell it all. But with Nathan Frazier, what better way to show off how good your NXT roster is,
yeah,
than to put him up against someone who is extremely quick and is debuting himself?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it absolutely.
Just, it works. Especially with him already being a tag team champion as well.
Yeah. Nathan Frazier looked really good in this match. I think he maybe looked a little bit too good for a debut match of a, you know, big star that you've been hyping up for a long time, like Rey Fénix. There was a couple times where I was like, okay, this match is over. Rey Fénix won. And nope. Nathan Frazier kicked out a couple times, and I was just like, holy shit. Is Rey Fénix going to lose his debut match?
Scared me. The one part that scared me was that suicide dive from Nathan Frazier. Because that...
Yeah.
He seemed a little bit too far back before Nathan Frazier jumped.
Mm-hmm.
And that landing scared the crap out of him.
Yeah. Yeah, it could have ended badly for both of them, especially Rey Fénix, too. It looked like he kind of landed on his leg there a little bit, might have bent his leg, but it looked like everyone was okay. Both of them were. They were able to finish the match, so that was good. Rey Fénix cut a promo after saying that he's always wanted to say that he's a part of the WWE, so he got to say that in Chicago, which was a great moment. BT, tell us how you really feel about this Rey Fénix debut, man.
Well, this is, I'm in Tommy's boat as well. This is my first time watching him in the ring as well. Amazing stuff from Rey Fénix, even during his entrance as well. He certainly had that Penta feel as well. You know how Mr. Blood ages ago was talking about how his entrance made him feel like a superstar? Like, it gave us that superstar feel. That was exactly what I got with Rey Fénix. And much, much more. Like, even when he was jumping from the ropes and then did the flip off of it, I'm like, who the fuck is this guy that he just casually does that on a daily basis? Like, this is Ricochet when he was in NXT, when he was just running across the ring and just dived over the top rope, landing on his 2 feet casually in front of a black man. Like, that was just hilarious, bro.
That was fucking Velveteen Dream.
Yeah. But, Yeah, that suicide dive from Nathan really scared me as well, because his foot, his feet were actually caught by the ropes. If you catch it at the last second, you'll see that his feet hit the ropes, and then of course Ray was standing pretty far back, but at least he caught him within the last second. So that could have gone horribly wrong, but I'm very glad that it didn't. But they were still able to capitalize off of that botch, and they were able to push Ray Phoenix as well. So that was one of my favorite parts about this match. And then the finish was awesome. The promo that he cut, you could tell how emotional he was. And that's something that I love. I love it when wrestlers show the emotion. They're not afraid to hide it. I love it when they do that. And it means a lot to him. So I'm very happy for him. Very happy.
BT, were you able to watch this match at all, or any clips of it? If so, do you have any thoughts that you want to add? I mean, Blood. Did I say BT? My bad. Blood.
Yeah, motherfucker, I just went!
Yeah. My bad.
Sorry, I was opening a gift someone got me, a new Naruto figure. But I did see the clips, did see the match. I actually agree with I think it was Tommy, or it might have been you, Snug, who said that you think Nathan Frazier was it? Mm-hmm. I think you said that he looked a little too good for a first match pension.
Ray Phoenix.
The reason you said that. Or Ray Phoenix. The reason that when you said that caught my attention was because this is going to sound real weird. I was more impressed by Nathan Frazier on this match than I was with Ray Phoenix. I don't know if that makes sense. And here's the thing. I've seen Ray Phoenix wrestle. I've never seen Nathan Frazier wrestle. And he has that style, that Matt style that I really, really like. He was quick, snappy, great, excellent timing. I think the reason I wasn't as impressed with Phoenix is because when I looked at him, I just saw a smaller, skinnier, I'm assuming younger version of Penta.
I don't know who's older, but he's definitely shorter and skinnier than Penta. And, yeah.
Well, in my opinion, I honestly thought that, how do I say this? I really think Ray Phoenix is better than Penta from what I've seen. Because I've seen some of Ray Phoenix's stuff in AEW, and seeing him again here fresh tonight on the roster for SmackDown, I think Ray is probably a bit better than Penta as far as like speed, agility, versatility in the ring. That top rope into that freaking Pele kick was insane.
Yeah.
I loved seeing the muscle buster, the Mexican muscle buster. That was dope. I haven't seen a muscle buster since Samoa Joe did it. Mm-hmm. I thought that that finish was awesome, or his finish is awesome. That, I don't know what he calls it, but that lift up, like almost like a fisherman hook into a DDT, was insane. And Nathan kicking out of that, I was like, look, if they're both debuting, you really sure you want to have Nathan kicking out at a near fall like that?
Yeah.
But crowd loved it. They were into it. It got a massive pop, and it started getting rumbles. And I'm pretty sure I heard "This is awesome" chants. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I would call this a success. I don't know if I would call this a successful debut, because a lot of that audience is fresh faced to Ray Phoenix, and a lot of that audience is fresh faced to Nathan Frazier. And if I'm mostly fresh-faced to the both of them, because I've heard of Nathan Frazier, and I've seen clips of Ray Phoenix wrestle, but if I leave Ray Phoenix's debut, he's the one that this moment's all about, right? If I leave his debut, and I'm thinking more about how much more impressed I was with Nathan Frazier, then I think you let Nathan Frazier get too much in here. Because I'm leaving much more impressed with Nathan Frazier. And that's taken nothing away from Ray Phoenix. But the problem with Ray Phoenix is we have so many luchadores in WWE. We just had a brand new one debut just a couple months ago in Penta. So from seeing everything Dragon Lee can do, from Andrade to the other fucking Joaquin Wilde and all these fucking guys, and obviously Rey Mysterio's right there and Dominic's right there. There's really nothing that he did tonight that I haven't seen before.
Cool, Rey Phoenix?
You know, yeah. So I wasn't really. It was hard to be impressed because I feel like right now WWE, and this is going to sound really weird, kind of is, in my opinion, a bit oversaturated on their Lucha Libre, Mexican, Puerto Rican-styled wrestlers, the high-flying Spanish, you know, are styled wrestlers, Latinas, Latinos. I feel like there's so many of them, and they're all in factions, and they're all in groups, and we see them all the time, and it's kind of hard for me to be impressed by a guy when I saw Dragon Lee do a bunch of the shit he did tonight when Dragon Lee debuted. I saw Penta do a bunch of shit he did tonight when Penta debuted. I see Rey Mysterio pull shit like that out of his ass when he's half asleep from a red eye, like he's you know, not even paying attention to the ring and still knocks it out of the park, perfect 10 out of 10. It's hard to be impressed because I've seen so much of it so recently, so often, that I was more impressed by Nathan Frazier because to me, he was newer.
Well, here's a fun fact that probably is the reason why you liked it so much. They were saying that Seth Rollins was the one that trained Nathan Frazier.
Then that probably explains it because, like I said, I may not be a big fan of Seth Rollins' character. I honestly think he should have stayed in the Monday Night Messiah gimmick so much longer. But I'm a massive fan of Seth Rollins' in-ring style. I love his in-ring style. It's a high flyer mixed with a little Michaels, mixed with a little Triple H thrown
also
in there.
Also, Nathan Frazier is one half of the NXT Tag Team Champions, and his partner is Axiom, who's the guy that went 50-50 versus Gunther a few weeks ago. So,
well, if his partner's Axiom, Nathan Frazier's clearly better than Axiom.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because Nathan Frazier got in there tonight. You know, honestly, what I was really thinking when I was watching him wrestle? He reminded me of prime Dolph Ziggler. Just the snappiness, the movement, the selling ability, the long hair, the long tights and the boots. And just there's something about the explosive movement where everything matters. And I think, if anything, this was a better showcase of Nathan Frazier's ability. Because especially if you're being trained by Seth, you know, you got to think that backstage before that match, Seth is probably hyping him up like, okay, remember everything we learned. You got this. This is this. Just give him last minute, you know, mentor, mentee, you know, positive words. But I felt Seth Rollins in his movements tonight. I felt Dolph Ziggler in his movements tonight because Dolph and Seth have very similar styles. So I was just more captivated by Nathan. So I don't know if I would call this a successful debut, because the other guy, in my opinion, took way more attention than you should have given him in the booking of that match.
I mean, one thing's for sure. I think it's safe to say, because they're NXT champions, these guys, they're taking a little bit more serious as far as, like,
yeah,
you know,
especially Triple H is on the, in behind the scenes, because NXT, it's his baby.
Yeah,
he's not going to have his NXT only... guys come out up and job out.
Yeah, yeah. Also Shawn Michaels too. Hey, you know, let me borrow this guy for SmackDown. Let's, you know, put him on the main show. All right, but make him look good. Don't.
Yeah, Shawn's gonna be like, all right, well, make him look good.
I'm not gonna give you one of my champions just so you can fucking bury them. You know, I gotta put them on TV next week. You know.
Thank God Triple H isn't Vince, because Vince would have.
Oh yeah, for sure. All right, let's move
Karrion on. Cross, case in point.
I want to talk about the Charlotte Flair and Tiffany Stratton segment, because I didn't think there was going to be much going on here, but there was a lot going on. For better or for worse, I was intrigued by this for all the wrong reasons, because these two women went off script. It took a turn, a weird turn, very, very quickly. And I wasn't expecting this, but it was kind of like a bad car crash. Like, I couldn't look away. And I was just, like, thrown off by all the things these two women were saying to each other. Like, it got personal. It got real. And, you know, there's some wrestling fans that they like their promos, like John Cena and Cody, you know, smooth and like perfect, and like the timing is perfect, and, you know, everything is just on point. That's good and everything. But to me personally, I like my promos like this, that feel real, that feel unscripted, that feel like, holy shit, she wasn't supposed to say that. Was she, did she really just say that, you know? And it wasn't pretty. It wasn't like, you know, they were talking over each other. Charlotte was trying to talk over the crowd. It wasn't one of those, oh, I'm going to let the crowd, you know, do their thing and I'm going to wait for them. No, like they were like moving. So it wasn't the most choreographed fucking segment, but it felt real. It felt raw and felt uncut. And that's what I liked about it. Charlotte Flair, earlier this week, she went on a talk show to talk about her personal life, her divorce. She got emotional. She was teary-eyed. She talked about her injury, how she came back, and the way that fans reacted after dealing with injury, after dealing with divorce. She felt like she was failing in her job and failing in her personal life. She comes back to the WWE. She gets booed on top of everything. Tiffany Stratton didn't hold back. She brought that up. She brought up, oh, you're just going on talk shows and crying like a little, yeah, you know, whatever. She brought up the divorce. You're going to end up alone again. She brought up Ric Flair. You're a Nepo baby. She brought up you're 0-3 in relationships, like all kinds of shit. Charlotte Flair ended the promo with, that's why Kaiser is in my DMs. And I thought, I don't know. I mean, do I believe that? It doesn't matter, but she said it, you know. So, Tommy, you're first this time. Tommy, your thoughts on this segment?
Thank God you started with me, because holy shit. For the people saying that Tiffany got buried last week, what y'all gotta say now? What y'all gotta say now? Because holy crap. Tiffy took that and pulled a Seth Rollins back when him and Riddle were doing their thing. The good old, are we still on? Okay, since you want to talk about my family, let me talk about yours. Oh, wait, we can't because your wife left you and she don't want to see your bitch ass anymore. That is the feeling that I got from Tiffany tonight. Holy shit. She did not hold back. Mm-hmm. And I loved that with this. With the fact that it felt so real. It felt like Triple H was in the back and said, know what? Say whatever the hell y'all want. Go ahead. Put it out there. And I love the fact that overall, that divorce has been out for a bit. And we have been waiting and waiting for Tiffany to finally pull it out. And the fact that she did tonight, I'm like, sure, there it is. There's the thing that we have been waiting for a few weeks now. I am so happy with this promo battle. Holy shit. It was insane. Neither of them held back, and I loved it.
Yeah, you say that you have that, you got that feeling from Seth and Riddle, and that's a good comparison. I got the feeling like these two women really don't like each other, and that's what a promo is supposed to do. No matter what, no matter how bad it sounded or how awkward it was, or you know how much of a wreck it was, I genuinely believe these two don't like each other, and I want to see them fight. It's that fucking simple. You don't need to have all these scripted lines. Sometimes you just got to go out there and just tell it like it is. I thought that after Charlotte Flair going on this talk show and putting it all out on the line, telling the people the reality, how she really feels, what she was going through, I thought she was going to come back and get sympathy from the fans. But they're in Chicago. Chicago, they're not
Chicago's brutal.
They're brutal, so they booed her even more. And I was like, what the fuck? But it also got me thinking, when Charlotte Flair was talking, she got the Dominic Mysterio treatment. They were booing her. They wouldn't let her talk. But then as soon as Tiffany Stratton would speak, the fans would just shut up. They let Tiffany Stratton speak. They cheered her when she was done making her points. And then Charlotte Flair would speak and she would get booed again. So Charlotte Flair, because of the, she just returned, she won the Rumble again. That put a lot of heat on her. And that's helping.
One of my favorite moments of this was Tiffany going, when you were 25, you were sitting in your dad's basement drinking. Meanwhile, me at 25, I'm going into WrestleMania as champion.
Even though Tiffany Stratton, technically, she was the one that was being the heel here. Charlotte Flair is the one that should be getting all the sympathy after that interview that she did. But the people are still cheering for Tiffany Stratton. That's how over Tiffany Stratton is right now, and it's fucking crazy. BT, do you have any thoughts on this?
I personally did not like this promo segment. The whole thing was just cringe for me. I don't know why. I get they hate each other, but for me personally, it's just two privileged blonde bitches getting the shits at each other. That's basically all it is, in my opinion, and I just personally don't find any interest in it. So I don't give a fuck what happens. Give Charlotte the title. Let Tiffany keep it. I'm just through with it. I'm done.
All right, Toxic. No, wait, no, I'm sorry. That... I'm sorry. No. It was actually Blood. My bad.
God yeah. fucking damn it.
Go ahead, Blood.
I didn't like this at all, actually.